Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome to the show. It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And man, we have a lot of stuff to get to on the program, don't we?
We do. It's we have a snow day at the studio, but we didn't stop. We didn't let that stop us from, you know.
There's really no snow, honestly.
There's a little bit of a sprinkling or whatever when I was drive over. Oh, look at that. Look at those snowflakes.
Oh, I stand corrected.
You do stand corrected.
Maybe if we let it accumulate all day long, we might have a snowball. A snowball.
Snowball. No, but the I wanted to give a remind people that we have the Double Barley collaboration coming up in a couple of weeks. So stoked.
March 7th.
The shirts came in, the Give Them Hell shirts, and people are like, hey, how do I get a shirt? And I'm like, well, if you ride the bus, you'll have first crack at it, you know, but the party bus with the Beer Army girl. And then next week we got, we are a sponsor for a Next Level MMA fight that's going up in Greenville Convention Center up in Greenville, North Carolina.
Awesome.
Please visit us. We'll have the Beer Army crew out there selling some swag. The Beer Army girl, she'll be slinging that stuff. If you don't have your tickets, you can definitely roll over to nextlevelfightclub.com. And hey, we got a promo code for you. The word Pete, P-E-T-E, 1313. That gets you $5 off your ticket.
Oh, cool.
So please go check it out. And a portion of the proceeds from that event is getting donated to Riley's Army. And Riley's Army is a local children's cancer organization serving local community families. So if you like MMA and you're a fan of Beer Army, come check it out. And enjoy some local action. And you know about me and Patreon. I love Patreon. I love what it does.
Awesome.
It enables people to become Beer Army super soldiers. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go to patreon.com/beerarmy. That's patreon.com/beerarmy. Pledge your support and become a Beer Army super soldier. Remember that those pledges are tax deductible because we are a 501c3 nonprofit charity. And we have a little feed in there.
Oh, there's some good stuff out there for you.
If we make you laugh, you've got to wonder, like, what makes us laugh then, right? And I got a good one for you, Mick.
I'm sure you do.
I thought, actually, when I saw this, I kind of thought, I could see this is the Beer Army girl back in the day when she was 18, you know, or 17 or something like that, you know? So, anyways, this is the Beer Army girl a couple of decades ago. Here we go.
Important part of this video. This is going to be probably a really life-changing video for a lot of people, I think. Like, I know that if I wasn't, like, if I was just watching this right now for myself or whatever, I would think this is just going to change my life. So basically, I'm going to teach you guys how to do something, and, you know, I'm going to teach you how to do it really good. So, you know, you can go to all the clubs and be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you guys can go, like, you guys are going to know how to twerk after you watch this video, basically.
It's life-changing, man. Once I learned how to twerk, the world never seemed the same to me. It was life-changing.
And when I think, and the reason why I say the Beer Army girl, it makes me think, when I look at the Beer Army girl's hair, it looks like it's been twerked. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to see the full four-minute-something video, definitely pledge your support. Go to beerarmy.com or patreon.com/beerarmy and become a Beer Army super soldier. So.
Oh, you know you're getting slapped after that one.
I know, but, you know, hey.
Oh, it's, yeah.
We have a little. We have a friendly rivalry.
You know? Twerking is life-changing.
Yeah.
Once you can attempt to twerk, but once you actually learn how to twerk, that's when it's life-changing.
Dude, all I know is after watching that video, I was like, what the hell, over? I almost felt like it should be a Yikum to Sue moment more than, you know, anything else.
Needless to say, the skills displayed you have to check it out.
Also, I wanted to, if you remember back a couple episodes, about a month ago in episode 119, Martyr Murder, do you remember we featured Natty Greens and their Winter Warmer, the Red Nose, and remember we talked about how AB was been suing them over the Fatty
Bush
Natty, over the Fatty Natty name and all that. Well, good news, AB's dropped that lawsuit, so
really?
Natty Greens is in the clear, I guess.
I wonder what happened.
Well, I don't know. The trademark fight over the Natty beer name is over, and Anheuser-Busch dropped the opposition to Natty Greens Brewing Company's trademark for the phrase Natty Greens. So, you know, all I know is that I'm happy for those guys. way to go, way to stick it out, way not to be intimidated. And
Hell yeah.
And you know, listen, we could say InBev, AB InBev, Anheuser-Busch, you know, you're the epitome of evil. They're not. I mean, you know, they're trying to look after their own commercial interests, but thank you for doing the right thing, too. You know,
well, on the flip side of that, as we talked about in that episode, I mean, Natty Green is their beer kind of pays tribute to Nathaniel Green.
Right. Revolutionary War general, big hero, so.
They, I mean, AB doesn't own the copyright or trademark on Nathaniel Green.
I'm with you.
I've got a follow-up for you.
Oh, cool.
And an update. Do you remember back on, what was that, episode 123?
Okay.
Yeah, that was...
Last week, right?
No, it was Bulls on Parade was the title of the episode.
Oh, so it's like two episodes ago.
Yeah. About that Oregon State girl that did the webcam.
In the the webcam girl.
Well, she was fined for her masturbation film.
Right.
But I guess things are looking up for her, or at least she'll be looking up at us in photos, because she'll be posing for Penthouse.
Nice. Hey, well, she's got her dream then. Remember her dream? Her porn career was on the rise. So her star's on the rise. I'm so happy for her.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure her parents are even more thrilled than we are. So.
Yeah, she's doing a 4-page photo spread with Penthouse Magazine being shot in San Francisco as of yesterday.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, you know, cheers to that. And when I say cheers.
A girl can dream.
You know.
It's life-changing. This never would have happened if she never learned to twerk.
No, but hey, when I say cheers, you got to have a beer in your hand to do cheers.
Oh, and I do.
As always, with the Beer Army and Gay Show, we always feature a beer, and I'm always excited this time of year. Actually, I have two favorite beers that come out, and this is one of them, and it is from Bell's Brewery out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's bellsbeer.com. It's Hop Slam Ale, baby. A double IPA clocking in at 10% ABV. This, for us down here, I know in some regions of the country, people think, oh, what's the big deal? They can readily get it. For us, we got like two cases. Right. That's it. You know, we're the redheaded stepchildren in the 18,000 square miles of eastern North Carolina. So, you know, unless you live in Raleigh, where it seems like the stores get it in the pallet load, we get like one or two cases. That's it. So if you're not familiar with Hop Slam, and if you're an IPA fan, I would be really surprised if you've never heard or maybe even had a chance to try Hop Slam. But it has six different hop varieties, and then it's dry hopped with Simcoe. You know, it's got this clear orangish color, you know, it has a nice rocky head, has a, you know, good retention, the lace on the glass is really there. The aroma, even with this little bit of a head cold that I got, Mick, it's like, wow. You know, you got this floral and citrus hops with just a touch of some tropical nuttiness, or not nuttiness, but notes in there. And you can pick up the malt a little, but it's masked pretty heavy by the hop load that's in this sucker.
And it's got some IBUs, buddy.
Definitely. And then it has that nice, I'm going to use that word, chewy, nice chewy body with a decent malt backbone. But, you know, the hops, it's huge. It's in your face. It's hop flavor and the bitterness. I kind of feel the bitterness overpowers the malt, but this is a West Coast style IPA, an American double IPA. So that's to be expected. But it just, the bitterness for me just lingers a little bit more, I think, than what I would like for me. I'm not, making a blanket statement for you, you know, but...
Well, the thing that I think kind of takes the edge off of that bitterness, even though it does linger, is the fact that it is 10%.
Yeah.
Could you imagine this around 6?
No.
That would truly slam you? It's good, though. It is definitely worth trying. If you at all enjoy IPAs, you should have this one at least once, and probably will drink it again.
I like the body. The body's, got this medium... the mouth feels the same. Carbonation is the same. It's pretty much medium, right where it needs to be. But I don't know if I've ever used this as a description. It's got this texture, this aggressive texture on the palate. And again, I'm not trying to slam it here, pun intended, but the finish for me is just a little bit more bitter because it kind of lingers. It doesn't overkill it. I mean, it's smooth because of that malty backbone. But, overall, it's a great beer, but it's such a pain in the ass to get in our area. And there's a lot of hype. And there's a lot of other great double IPAs out there that I don't know if I would pay the money that we have to charge around here to get our hands on it. You know what I mean? I think if I lived in Michigan or lived in Indiana or whatever, where it's probably more readily available, definitely this would be a go-to beer for me. But You know, when I have to sacrifice one of my children and give a title deed to my cards, I'm serious. It's like with these beer traders to try to get your hands on this damn beer. I don't know. But just to give a little background on Bell's Beer, or Bell's Brewing, is founded by Larry Bell as a home brewing shop back in 1983 with the name of Kalamazoo Brewing Company Incorporated. It sold its first commercial beer in 1995 using a 15-gallon soup kettle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It has grown from 135 beer barrels in 1986 to over 310,000 beer barrels in 2014. In 1989, it signed its first wholesaler to distribute statewide in Michigan and is currently distributed to 20 states to include Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. In 1993, it opened the first brew pub in Michigan. And then in 1998, I didn't know this, but they got into a legal spat with a Mexican brewery over their flagship summer beer, what we call Oberon today, which is a very popular beer. It sells really well here in eastern North Carolina. It was called Soul Sun because they had a that's what they originally called it, but there was that Mexican brewery had a beer called El Sol, which is translated for the sun. So in 2003, they opened a new production brewery in nearby Comstock, about 7 miles east of Kalamazoo. And since then, they've already had 7 major additions. They currently have a 130,000 square foot building on a 32-acre campus. I mean, hello, I want to go visit. It has a 50, and get this, Mick, and a 200 beer barrel brew house with 400 and 800 barrel fermenters. I've seen 200s, I've seen 300s. Wow. I don't know. I've seen 400s, but 800s is like, holy crap.
That's substantially bigger than a 15-gallon kettle.
Yeah, with a total annual capacity of 500,000 beer barrels. That's just mind-blowing. Awesome. They also have a general store, an 80-acre farm that's 90 minutes north where it grows some of its own barley to be malted.
Sweet.
And then in 2005, they changed the name from Kalamazoo Brewing Company to Bell's Brewery, since everybody was calling it Bell's anyways. And the reason why is, if you remember on the label, it would say Bell's whatever, but on the fine print, it would say Kalamazoo Brewing Company. And so it just makes sense, you know, and everybody was calling it Bell's anyways. And then in 2013, I didn't know this, but I got to do a road trip now. They opened Upper Hand Brewery, which is located in the UP in the town of Escanaba, Michigan. So UP as in Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
Upers.
So, yeah, I got to go check that out. So. Yeah, definitely get your hands on Hop Slam if you've never tried it.
Bring the twerk team, because they need a life-changing experience. This beer is awesome. If you love West Coast styles, this one, it will be a little bit mild for you.
Yeah, compared to West, yeah.
If you enjoy IPAs, more of an English style, but you want to try something local that's good, that's not going to necessarily blast your palate like a West Coast, this at 10% I think is perfect. Because it's not gonna really nail you like the West Coast would.
Well, this is not an East Coast though, or this.
This isn't. I'm not saying.
Yeah, it's not an English style. This is American IPA, no doubt about it.
No,
it is American double IPA. But you know, it has that bitter finish of an American. It, to me, it's like you have American IPA and you have West Coast IPA. And I know people be like, well, what the hell's the difference? It's like West Coast to me, it's just all about bitterness and just in your face. I think if you probably talk to the people at Bell's, they would kind of consider this more West Coast. I would say this is more American IPA, and I think that's what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Because I honestly am not a West Coast IPA type of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, because it just destroys my palate, and I can't really drink anything after that. But no, this one I will definitely have again.
Sweet.
This would be like a good one to, it does linger. There is that bitterness that lingers, but it's really smooth. And it is an American IPA, and that is Bell's Hop Slam. You can get your hands on it. Definitely take advantage of it. Get all the information you need online at beerarmy.org. You can link to Bell's.
Yeah, bellsbeer.com.
Yep, link to it right from the website and a whole lot more as well, right there on iTunes. I don't care how you're listening to it, Stitcher, iTunes, right there on Podbean. All the resources are available to you. And stick around, because we have our awesome tribute with Heroes Never Die coming up.
Yeah, we had somebody run down a gunman and lived to speak about it, so...
Wow.
That's awesome.
Can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org.
Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army engaged.
We're back, and I do want to encourage you to hit up beerarmy.org for the events. Hit on the events tab. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming. And first of all, March 7th,
yeah,
the release with the collaboration with Double Barley.
Dude, Give 'Em Hell Day is blowing up to be of epic proportions, man. I mean, you know, Brandon Snow's going to be playing in the afternoon. You got Brian Mayer that's going to be playing later that evening. I mean, we got Silent Auction. We got Michael Morrison, award-winning abstract artist. We have a couple of our artists going to be doing lithographs that are going to be available during the Silent Auction. Both with the bottle label. That's actually for Give 'Em Hell. And then Kenny did a special, I don't know if we want to unveil it or not, because we're going to produce it into a shirt. I know the Beer Army girl's pretty damn excited.
Well, I think that would be, we at some point we probably should.
Well, okay, we're calling it the Hoppo design, and basically it goes back to the Beer Army girl, but it's a really cool design.
Well, and it's a great tease right
there. And for people who don't know who Kenny Farmer is, definitely go check him back. Episode 1, when we talked about the Beer Army Engage logo, he's our guy, and he was a Marine, and he works as a comic book illustrator up in Brooklyn, New York, and the Beer Army logo that we have today is his doing. And,
Kenny, I've never met the guy, but Kenny's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He's awesome. But
and we can't forget the beer.
Yeah, no. Man. Yeah, it's just, the beer, Give 'Em Hell, 10.4% All-American Imperial Red Ale. And they brewed it this past week, right? Mm-hmm. And they actually posted some pictures, you know, of them and their shenanigans, and I'm just so freaking stoked. It is going to be such an awesome time that if you're anywhere within, like, a million grid squares of Smithfield, North Carolina, you need to vector in, okay? And I am speaking military jargon, but get your ass to Smithfield, North Carolina, March 7th.
We'll give you a 10-point grid coordinate so you're not going to be wandering around too long, all right?
Shit, we'll give you a 12 one so you can be right there.
All right, okay, boom. I was just going to put you within 10 meters, man. 10 meters. You want to put them within 2 or 5. Oh, man. No, what's really awesome, though, is the fact that, I mean, Beer Army is about, it's about the brotherhood. Yeah, it's a brotherhood celebrated over beer, but it's about the brotherhood. And it's about celebrating great deeds from great people.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say we dive into the heart and meat and potatoes of it all?
Let's do it.
All right, because in this crazy thing called life, when you never know what's going to happen, more importantly than not, you never know who's going to step in the gap.
This week, to me, this is a true, again, another hero, and just give a listen.
Thought in my head, if I turned around, I would get shot. I ran towards him to push him over. When I seen him raise his gun, I was glad that more people got out of the office, I guess, without him.
And that is, speaking, was 45-year-old Brian Raisler of Marion, South Dakota. And he works at the Sioux Steel in Lenox. And basically, you know, it's one of those angry coworker type things. They were having a birthday party for a fellow coworker named Kathy Stever. And so this guy just came in. He just started shooting up the place. And Brian just wasn't going to have it. So he basically said that he was afraid that he would get shot. But he just turned around and basically went after this guy, and they wrestled around on the freaking gun on the, you know, deck. The guy's trying to point the gun at him. I'll even put it. He goes, I quote, "I just thought in my head, if I turned around, I would get shot. So I just ran towards him to push him over when I see him raise his gun. I didn't want him to get aim, I guess." And then another quote, "There was a time I thought he was aiming the gun back at me, and I was wrestling to aim it back at him. But I never really thought I could get shot. I just thought I'd try to get the gun out of his hand. It's all so fast, you can't really think about it," Raisler said.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. It's like, holy crap, man.
He sounds like he took a beating physically and mentally.
Well,
man.
Dude, you got to watch the full video. Unfortunately, and not the bad mouth an ABC affiliate, but the audio and video production isn't the greatest. But watch the full video, and you'll see his face, and he's got jacked up a little bit, obviously in a tussle. So I mean, he was definitely in the shit, so to speak, fighting for his life, man. Because I'm sure this guy,
Oh, that's wow. I can't really imagine. Is this a coworker?
No,
Who is this dude?
This world-class reporting that we got going on, unfortunately. No, it doesn't clarify. What they basically say is that the gunman, he didn't say anything. He looked very determined when he came into the building and started shooting. And Raistler says that, you know, he did not recognize the shooter, and he didn't hear the argument that went on earlier that morning. So it sounds like he was either a customer or somebody who came in earlier that morning, got into a dispute, and then must have, you know, left, and then must have came back pissed off and started just coming guns a-blazing.
Wow.
And so when he did, they were in the middle, I guess it looks like, of a birthday celebration, or what began as a birthday celebration for his fellow coworker, Kathy Stever. And I guess she's one of the ones that got shot, and you know, he's obviously praying for her recovery. And the cool thing is, if you listen to the full video at the end, he goes, you know, I'm not a hero or something like that. He doesn't consider himself a hero. And it's like, brother, that's why you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
More so than any others, because you just feel like and that's selflessness. That's the very definition of selflessness, is somebody who doesn't think it's a big deal or doesn't think that they're anybody special. And it's like, yeah, dude, you are.
The thing that gets me with that whole thing is he's talking about wrestling and the gun being pointed at him and trying to point it back. I've honestly had nightmares.
Yeah.
Over that of like being where it's everything associates to a matter of inches and when and where you can get leverage, and it's about survival. That's man, that close.
Yeah.
In wrestling and fighting.
Well,
that's freaking crazy.
The Lincoln County Sheriff's Office, along with Raistler and other people, are trying to figure out, you know, what made this dude snap, you know, and everything like that. And, you know, and of course everybody's trying to process the aftermath, because, you know, Raistler was just one of six employees in the front office when the shooting began. So it wasn't just him, but he was the only one. That's my whole point. That's the reason why I love this segment, Heroes Never Die. He was the only one that acted, you know? And I know in our Marine Corps commercials or military commercials, you know, recruiting, they're always about, you know, hey, they want to tap into your patriotism of what it is to be a man or a woman, you know? And are you one that runs to gunfire when others are running away? Then we want you. You know, I mean, they tap into that. But there is some truth into that. And that's what happened here.
That's a loaded question, because the only people that are going to run to it are ones that have already joined. Really? Well, I can't say that.
But like in this case, there's six people. Five take cover. One doesn't and goes in the opposite direction to take it on. Nothing against the other five people, because maybe they're trying to protect the fellow. You don't know the situation, but... And it doesn't make them lesser of a person. It's just what we're trying to focus the attention on is, thank God for guys like Brian Raistler, who did what he did. Because if this guy has just one magazine, semi-automatic pistol, you're probably looking at about 15 rounds. Shit, if it's a revolver with just six rounds, that's six dead people.
Yeah.
And there's not, because, again, Brian Raistler decided, nah, I'm not going to be a freaking victim.
That's absolutely amazing, because that's the thing is you never know what you're going to do until you're in a situation. And that's why we say you never know who's going to step up. Who's going to do that?
Because guess what? Brian Raistler put in another situation just exactly the same a week from now. He might not do that. And that doesn't make him a coward or anything. No. That's why I love this segment so much. And I got to tell you, you know, Mick, you asked me if I was okay last week. You know, you're like, dude, what's up or whatever. And I didn't really come clean. And I feel like, I know you kind of questioned me on my Facebook because I posted something. And, you know, for those that don't know, Captain Todd Siebert, God rest his soul, he's the reason why I started Beer Army. And he was killed coming out of Ramadi on 16 February back in 2007. So 8 years ago. And so Valentine's Day, I mean, I'm married, okay? So I ain't getting by without recognizing Valentine's Day. It just ain't happening. You know what I'm saying, dude?
Yeah.
And so subconsciously, though, I always know that that day, that anniversary is right around the corner. And I kind of loathe it, in that it's like, you know, I say don't forget. We say never forget. But it's like you kind of want to forget because it's painful. You know, it's like pulling back on a scab, you know. And I came across something that a fellow Marine and one of a fellow Marine that served with Todd back in the early 90s wrote, and his name was Ronnie Phillips. And I was just, it was like everything that I would have wrote, if I would have wrote something about it,
yeah,
and what it meant and what, you know, Todd means to me, it just hit it on the head. And it turns out Serrani Phillips was this Marine. And I know we kind of switched gears from here, but we're talking about Heroes Never Die. And the whole purpose of the segment and the reason why we have Heroes Never Die is because we created a beer called Heroes Never Die, which is our English style IPA, or our what we call East Coast IPA. And originally I was going to call it Comanche 03, which was Todd's call sign in Iraq when he was killed. But I wanted to call it Heroes Never Die because I wanted to make it more personal so everybody else can relate to it.
Right.
Whereas if you make it Comanche 03, maybe people can't relate to it as much. And so that's the reason why we have this segment on the show. When we talked about, hey, what do we want to create a show? What do we want it to be around? You and I agreed that this is going to be the heart of the show, right? Everything revolves around this, recognizing somebody on a weekly basis that did something very heroic,
yeah,
you know, and not be like the rest of the news bullshit out there where it's all negative shit and focused on just stupid crap, you know, like, you know, the human spirit and the human condition and celebrating that. And so, and that's the reason I'm kind of going off on a tangent here because, you know, this was last week, obviously, and I read Ronnie's post. If somehow it came up in my, you know, Facebook's weird like that. All of a sudden something comes up in your feed. I clicked on it yesterday and it just tore me up in a good way though.
No, and I hear you. Because I saw it too, and then I read it yesterday and I had to stop and shut the whole world out. And I read it and I never knew Todd. I never knew him. I know of him. I know what he means to you. I know he inspired all this. And man, but I'm tearing up right now even thinking about it. But it was just powerful. It was really, really well done.
But exactly, and that's the thing is like Ronnie, when I wrote him, you know, back on Facebook, you know, he's in Texas. He flew halfway across the country last year to visit Todd's, you know, to Harmony, Pennsylvania. I mean, it's a little town, a little Mennonite town. I mean, it's nothing, you know. And you know, he writes in his writing, he's like, I can't tell my wife why. I just had to go do it. Right. And he's like, you know, after a couple of tumblers of scotch, he, you know, made it back to his hotel room because obviously he flew in to visit Todd's gravesite. He didn't have the words, but a year later, he posts this, not a manifesto, but like this, not call to action, but just this tribute, you know, this tribute to Todd that I thought was so beautiful and so well written. And I'm sure if you, I don't know Ronnie Phillips from anybody. I mean, he's just a fellow Marine. And so by default, he's a brother.
Right.
But understanding what Todd meant to him when he served back with him in the early 90s and stuff like that, it was just amazing. It was uncanny. Like, if I wrote something, this is what I would like to hope that I would have wrote, right? And, you know, he writes, he goes, a year ago today, and he posted this on 16 February, which is this year was the 8-year anniversary of Todd being killed in action. He goes, I stood at the grave of Captain Todd Siebert. No, he wasn't my best friend, not even close to it. There was never a better Marine, but no, not my best friend. And it's pretty long. I would say go to the Beer Army General Facebook page. If you're not friends with me or whatever, just go to just search for Beer Army General on Facebook, and you'll read this post. And he made a nice little picture of the gravestone with the bracelet, the same type of bracelet I wear, remembering Todd. You know, but I just want to highlight just a couple of quick things. And I know I'm hijacking the show here.
Ah, you're good.
Mick,
you're good.
So please
people need
me
to know about Todd.
But he goes later on, and he goes, see, Captain Siebert meant the world to us. He wasn't just a Marine, he was the Marine Corps. He was everything it was supposed to be. So on February 16th, 2007, when he was hit, it's as if you told me the Marine Corps is fallible. It is able to be defeated. And then he later goes on, it was then I felt the full brunt of the hatred I have for the enemy. It never goes away, not completely. Revenge fantasies abound, of course, although it's impossible to know if the son of a bitch who got him is still alive. I hope he died the worst of deaths. And it kind of goes back to that Chris Kyle thing where he made some comments about Iraqis. And that's the reason why it's hard when people, it's not that you're racist. It's just that you're fighting something that you look at as your enemy. And it's very easily to get caught up in that. You know,
a threat is a threat.
Exactly.
When a threat is potentially going to take the lives of the brothers you love. I mean, race, religion, that goes out the window.
Right.
That to you just becomes evil.
Yeah.
It becomes savage.
Exactly.
And you want to eradicate it. You want to get rid of it.
But Mick, this is where it becomes really uncanny, because how many times have you heard me do my spiel, my pitch, right? Because people want to know what Beer Army's about. And I talk about Todd was kind of like the catalyst. And I say, I can't explain why, per se, because he wasn't my best friend. you know, I lost friends before him and after him, you know, both in Iraq and Afghanistan.
You highly respected him. You worked with him.
Exactly. I mean, he was a benchmark that I measured myself against. But this is where Ronnie really hits it on the head. And he states that he goes, before and after, talking about people that he knows that have died, he goes, folks, I know I have been wounded and have died, but none cut so deeply as Captain Siebert's. He goes, I visited him last year because I believe in paying my respects to our fallen. It was bitterly cold and snowing, and I wept and I kept wiping the snow from his headstone, even though I knew it would eventually be covered again until the spring thaw. But while I was there and watching, nothing was going to fuck with his resting place. Not God or snow or the weather or any other thing that might come along. This was our time and probably our last time. And this is where it seals it for me, Mick. You guys can have Memorial Day. I have February 16th. And that's me. And if anybody who loves Beer Army and loves what it's about and considers themselves a soldier of the Beer Army, and by the way, if you drink beer, you're in the Beer Army, whether you want to be or not, you need to understand, or at least understand why we started it, or why I started it, you know, and I say that humbly, you know, because it's really a group organization. But this is it. And I'm calling my shot right now, Mick. I've been running from it for so damn long. You know, when I came back, I got my dress blues fitted. I got back in, you know, December of 2017, and I was going to go pay my respects a couple months later. And I had an excuse. I don't remember what it was. You know, hey, family man, I was dealing with a lot of, like, survivor's guilt shit. Right. You know, I was trying to get acclimated back in the family environment. But for whatever reason, I didn't go. And then the next year came, you know, and I didn't go. And the next year came, and I didn't go, right?
So this is your catalyst, huh?
This is my catalyst. You know, Ronnie Phillips, thanks. Whether you realize it or not, dude, you've lit a fire under my ass. And next year will be the 9th year of Todd's, you know, being killed.
Yeah.
I'm calling my shot, man. You know, we got Give 'Em Hell Day coming up, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome event. I'm going up. I'm rolling up to Harmony, Pennsylvania on February 16th. 2016, it's going to be Heroes Never Die Day.
That's
maybe
awesome.
It's just me.
No.
It doesn't really matter, but I'm going to pay my respects because I realized that by not paying my respects, I'm disrespecting the whole very premise of what we've built Beer Army on. You know what I'm saying, dude? And I know I'm really going long-winded here, but we're kind of caught up in the moment.
People need to hear
it. It's just, man, dude, thank you, Ronnie Phillips, you know, for writing that. Thank you, Brian Raisler, for not being a victim and for saving your fellow coworkers when this gunman came in a guns a-blazing.
Well, I can do is I'm going to thank both of them for being vulnerable and just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there, man.
Putting it out there to save more than just yourself and to share and not just to keep just for yourself.
That's the important thing right there. I think you hit it right on the head, Mick. I think when everybody looks, we're all hurting. We all have things in our lives that are just, you know, the man. Again, remember, we talk about the man, right? And the man on any day can be anything. And I know you got your man right now. You got that monkey on your back, whatever. But, you know, that's what your friends are there for. That's what family's there for. That's what Beer Army's there for. It's there for you. You know, I mean, I know it sounded like a call to action. We got like, hey, man, call to prayer or something like that. Like, I mean, we're not trying to make Beer Army a freaking religion. But it is to me in a way, but... Nah, we appreciate everybody. It is. It's a brother and a sisterhood. It culminates around a lovely liquid that we call beer and how it brings people together and it breaks down social barriers. And that's what Beer Army is about. So, you know, thanks to everybody for listening to us and for supporting us. I know we got really deep there, got really heavy on you, but we appreciate you giving us the time to do
it's
it.
It's cathartic, man. And, it's cathartic and it's celebrating. It's celebrating those that have come before us and those that have done great things.
But hey, so. the nice thing about it is when we finish up our Heroes Never Die segment, we know we're going into our next segment.
Yeah, we're gonna bring some levity to it. We're gonna hopefully make you laugh with some insanity from everyday life. There's a lot of shit you can't make up.
And I got a good one. I got your favorite state, baby. I got your favorite state, Mick.
Florida. Always a wealth of stupidity. Stick around. Yikem to Sue coming your way on Beer Army Engaged.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superherodent.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's superherodent.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at BEERARMY.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, here we are at that point in the show where it's time to actually laugh. Pretty serious last segment, man.
It is, it is. And I got to tell you, I'm not laughing as I'm looking out the studio window and I see the snow because I'm like, what the hell? I live in the South, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's snowing. Hey, you can't make it up.
You can't make it up. You see it right there, black and white.
And there's plenty of insanity in this everyday thing we call life, isn't there?
There is, and I was at where we're doing our pre-production meeting or whatever, and I saw some of your stuff that you got. I just like, again, you can't make this shit up.
Yeah, so let's yuck him to Sue. All right, Dustin, were you ever a teenager and you really wanted to get into a movie and you couldn't see it?
All the time, dude. I mean, Risky Business.
Did you ever think about, hey, I should pull all my friends together and we should just like stampede and charge the theater?
Charge the theater? No, I never thought about charging. I thought about going through the back door.
Well, we didn't grow up in Florida.
Florida.
Because yes, teens stampeded a movie theater, and you'll never believe the movie they wanted to see.
There's a whole bunch of kids that try to get rated R tickets, so we sold out all the PG-13 movies, and they just started to run in.
We learned Monday that the R-rated movie in question, none other than the racy and hyper-adult 50 Shades of Grey.
Can you believe that?
Oh, my God. 50 Shades of Grey? I mean, really? It's like, oh, my God. Yeah, in this day and age of internet and internet porn and new porn and everything else, like, really?
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey.
I mean...
Right there, it was the AMC West Oaks 14 in Ocoee, Florida.
No, I know, but what I'm trying to say is 50 Shades of Grey, I haven't seen it, but from what I'm hearing about it, there's some racy stuff, but like if you want to see porn, there are so many ways to consume porn for free online I don't get it.
Without getting a criminal record, unless you're looking at child porn.
Wow, man.
Yeah, I don't understand. This movie has not even intrigued me whatsoever.
No,
why a bunch of teenagers would be like, hey, let me go into a theater and pop a totally inappropriate chub over the randomest of things.
To be honest with you, if I wanted something more like psycho-erotic, I'm thinking of Christian Bale in American Psycho. Okay, that was a little bit more interesting. That was like an old movie that was filmed back in the 80s, and then they put it to, I think it went straight to DVD like in the late 90s, right, after Christian Bale got kind of popular or whatever. But
so you got a thing for Christian Bale?
Oh, definitely. I got a chub right now, dude. But no, no, I'm just saying, like, to me, that movie drew more interest to me, and it was a B flick than this freaking 50 Shades of Grey.
If you're going to storm a theater for a rated R movie, make it one that's actually worth seeing.
Yeah, just 50 Shades of Grey, really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like mediocre acting.
Dude. I'll tell you this much. Tell you what's not acting is this freaking ISIS thing, dude.
God. Don't get me started on that.
I know you and I have we've talked about it a lot privately and stuff. It is driving me freaking nuts.
Oh, yeah. The inaction.
Just exactly. It. Just the whole laissez-faire attitude. Just the ineptness, not just of our government, but Western civilization as a whole, you know, and of course we've talked about Chris Kyle and Marcus Luttrell. We featured him in past episodes with the guy Muhammad Gulab trying to, you know, seek
the man that rescued him,
trying to get to the United States or whatever. Well, you know, Marcus Luttrell gets invited to speak on Times, and he was featured on local news here talking about this whole ISIS thing. And dude, you got to listen to this. I love it. And, of course, this is us kind of whoring out the Marine Corps. You know me, dude. I got to, got to play my
I know
my
you're
tribute.
Popping a chub right
but
now.
But check this out.
Fox News alert. ISIS militants spreading and making gains across the Middle East. Now Italy warning ISIS is at Europe's doorstep. Two, they are urging NATO to intervene.
That's right. ISIS also closing in on one of the largest United States military bases in Iraq. Islamic State fighters taking over the town of al-Baghdadi. That is just 5 miles from an air base where hundreds of U.S. Marines are stationed. And this morning, tribal leaders with a grave warning, Anbar province could fall into ISIS's hands at any moment. Joining us now is the hero behind Lone Survivor, retired U.S. Navy SEAL Marcus Luttrell. Sir, thank you for being with us today. When you see that map of ISIS expanding territory, particularly when you look at Iraq, a place you know quite well, what's your reaction?
That's troubling. I mean, ISIS isn't having any problem moving through the region, and now that they're down in Anbar and al-Assad, it needs to be a fight. I mean, I overheard you saying that there's a couple of hundred Marines in there. Best thing you can do right there is jerk the chains off of those guys and let them go to work. I know that we're there for other reasons, but apparently the enemy doesn't, so you can't just let them. They'll hold off as long as possible, but eventually you're going to have to snap that chain off of them and let them go to work.
Wow. He's right.
And I mean, not that I'm saying, hey, let's, you know, Marcus Luttrell for president, but it's like, I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that way, you know?
No, you're not. It's like, I mean, giving your job in the military, you train and train and train to be able to do it. It's like being a doctor that's not able to practice is what it is.
But basically, to put this in perspective, though, for people like in the Army, you guys have brigades. What are brigade size? About 500?
Well, the Army's changed its model over the past 10 years. I mean, we used to go from like battalion and corps level elements to now they're broken down into brigade combat teams so that you have mobility in its entirety, but yet in smaller actionable force sizes.
So. But where I'm going with this is that, so they say 300 Marines, and I'm going to play a little bit more for you because I love it how he frames it up. And, you know, and this is me being the Marine that I am, want to whore myself my propaganda or whatever about how badass Marines are. But when a Navy SEAL is giving props to Marines, hey, you got to, like, hey, take your bows when you can. You know what I'm saying,
Did
brother?
It actually just happened.
No, but to put it in perspective, I mean, 300 Marines, that's about a battalion-sized strength element, you know? Yeah. And just give this a listen. He basically asked, like, well, what can 300 Marines do?
So you think it's inevitable that 300 Marines are sitting there. If you're one of those Marines at that base, if you're one of the people there, Marcus, what is the thoughts going through your head as they are gaining? What are we capable of doing with 300 guys?
With 300 Marines, you could probably take over Iraq if you wanted to and get rid of ISIS completely. I mean, those guys, there's... Make no mistake about it, Marines are warfighters. I mean, they're really good at what they do. The only time that they're not good at what they do is when somebody else puts the shackles on them. I know probably you got a lot of young Marines in there who are ready to get after it. You got guys who have probably been fighting in the wars the entire time. They understand the severity and what that means to actually engage. And
he's right, man. But the whole thing is everything right now with ISIS has been hamstrung by political correctness. They have done an awesome job with social media recruitment, with social media psychological operations.
They've
infiltrated into Western culture on the political correctness side from, and they're not going to outwardly say, people aren't going to outwardly say, oh, I'm with ISIS. But when you have such a politically correct, polarizing mentality when it comes to even addressing Islam, you're not going to be able to fight extreme Islam. And look, I know people don't want to, well, you can't associate Islam with ISIS. And well, yeah, you can. When they're calling for a caliphate, they're calling themselves the Islamic State.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're calling for all this stuff, which essentially what they want is the apocalypse in the end of the world.
Right.
They want the destruction of all of Western civilization. They've already attacked France. They're already 200 miles from Italy. How many people have they beheaded?
No, you're absolutely right.
How many Christians burn last week?
And Al-Baghdadi, what we're talking about here is where they burned alive over 50 people or whatever.
Christians.
And meanwhile, what we have is we got 300 Marines sitting in a, and for those that don't realize, El Asad is a huge FOB. That's a forward operating base for people that don't understand military jargon. Huge, man.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's saying, you got to snap that chain loose, baby. Go to work, man.
Yeah.
And unless you do, and this is my point. This is what pisses me off. This is the Yikum Tsu in all this. If you're not going to let them do it, get them the fuck out of there then.
Yeah.
I do not want to see my tax dollars being wasted. I sure as hell don't want to see future Captain Todd Seabirds being put at freaking harm's way if you're not going to let them do their job.
Yeah, I don't want another damn plane landing in a Dover Air Force Base full of flag-draped coffins for covering those of Marines or any service members that weren't allowed to freaking do their job.
You know, and the other thing is, people, pull your heads out of your asses. Get your hands out of heads out of sand. There's more dimensions to this. This isn't just a two-dimensional thing. Mm-hmm. I would be wagering man to say, understand what ISIS is. It's Sunni, okay? Understand what Iran with Persian, they're Shia. I'll put money on it that if you're Saudi, I'm sorry to offend you, but I'm telling you right now, ISIS is equipped. They're getting funded. That's all I'm going to say. They're getting funded. They sure as hell ain't doing it by selling fucking sheep meat and wool and stuff like that. They're getting heavily funded and supported. And when you look at Islam, the the splinter between Shia and Sunni is huge. It's huge. That's all I'm going to say.
It's polarizing.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So these guys are playing the keeps is what I'm trying to say, and it's a freaking joke. That's the reason it's Yikem to Sue here is that you can't make this up, and we're going to sit on the sidelines.
We can't Neville Chamberlain our way through this crap.
You go back
to 1938. You go back to 1938.
Chamberlain, perfect example.
You can have all the documentation. You can claim all this political correctness, and you can claim to be like, oh, well, we're making sure we're taking care of everything in the world. Look, Hitler played the freaking mind game just to get what he wanted.
Yeah, no.
And if you placate, if you freaking tiptoe around it all and you don't address it head on, and eventually you're going to have to fight for your life to save it.
Yeah. So hopefully those Marines, you know, every one of them does not become a statistic because of our inaction, I guess, and our ineptness. But
well, it's not ineptitude. It's reluctance. It's being hamstrung and shackled by political correctness crap, which they're playing to a freaking T. And they're doing it, man. They're buying into our sensitivities because people are more worried about being offended than freaking being oppressed.
Boy, I feel like I hijacked this again in this segment, but I know you got another funny story, so I want to make.
We're running out of time, man. We're running out of time. All I can say is, look, if you happen to be, and I can't believe this, man. This is just totally random. Out of Florida,
again?
Yeah. If you're going to be arrested on multiple felony accounts. And you have to list your occupation on the arrest report.
Uh-huh.
I don't recommend that you refer to yourself as a drug dealer. That's what Robert Michael Phillips did. Was apprehended after he cut off an unmarked Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office vehicle while riding in a stolen car. They trailed him.
Nice.
They ended up. He fled. They ended up catching up with him. He gets arrested and.
Overachiever all the way, man.
Yeah. But seriously, yeah, he lists a drug dealer as a job on his arrest report.
Nice. You know, I can't.
So what do you do for a living? Drug dealer.
I can't let this go. I mean, listen, I love Florida. I don't know why we're beating it up, but it just seems like we are.
I used to live there. It was a great state
And there's a lot of great people that live in Florida, but guess what, Mick? I got a Florida story, too. But the difference is between somebody calling themselves a drug dealer, these are supposed to be more white-collar, professional-type people. And what I'm talking about is Republican Hastings, okay, when threw lobbed a verbal bomb during congressional House meeting at a fellow Texas lawmaker. And what I'm talking about is a couple weeks back, at the House Rules Committee debate, he called Texas crazy for rejecting federal health care expansion. Yeah. And he was yelling at Texas Representative Michael Burgess. And his remark was, he basically made a very defamatory statement. And he goes, I wouldn't live in Texas for all the tea in China. That's how I feel. And he went on to further cite Texas law in that you can't shoot bears out of a second floor of a window. And he also noted that there's a law on the books in the state of Texas where one of their cities, the women can only have 6 dildos and they got to be a certain size. But I was like, dude, you're going to be poking, you know, Texas people in the eye. Like, you need to look in your own state. You got some wacky stuff too, man.
You're shaped like a dildo.
Exactly.
You dick.
But, you know, it just goes to show you, when it comes to Yikem to Sue, it comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, people who are supposed to be highly educated, like our politicians, and, of course, people maybe not so educated who are driving a stolen vehicle and cut off a cop, and they list drug dealer as their freaking occupation. So
it's been one hell of a ride today, man.
It has, dude. I know we got pretty heavy there for the people. We appreciate those bearing with us, you know, and yeah, it's good stuff, though.
And don't forget to stay connected with us, beerarmy.org. You can link to previous episodes. You can have more fun, link to all of our events. And I can't stress enough, if you are anywhere in the Smithfield, North Carolina area, March 7th, make sure you come on out to Double Barley for the awesome release of the collaboration between Double Barley and Beer Army Foundation.
Definitely. Find Mick and I. Let's take some pictures, man. Let's document it. We're going to have a good time.
Hell yeah. And we'll see you next week here on Beer Army Engaged.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.